or my take at thetakeaway.org. So a few months back at the very entertaining and always interesting TED conference, technology, entertainment, and design conference out in Long Beach, California, we talked with Vinod Khosla, the venture capitalist, about the climate change problem, and he simplified it and in only the words that he can use.
I like to simplify the climate problem. I say there's only four problems: coal, oil, cement, and steel. If we solve those four, we're done. We don't have to worry about waiting for other things.
Four problems: coal, oil, cement, and steel. We solve those four, we're done with climate change. Let's work on cement this morning with Henry Fountain, who's the editor and writer for the New York Times and author of today's Science Times article, Concrete is Remixed with Environment in Mind. He's here in the studio with us. Henry, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So cement is a carbon problem. I'm not aware, first of all, that that is the case. I mean, when Vinod told me, I wanted to hear more, but you know, he talks so fast, we didn't get to it. But it's great that you're here. Why is carbon a cement problem, and what can we do to fix it?
Well, the manufacture of cement produces a lot of carbon dioxide, about 5% of annual global emissions, in fact.
Is that because of some combustion or a chemical reaction, or what's going on?
Well, it's a combination of the two. About 40% of it is just the fossil fuel cost of heating up limestone to 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit. But about half of it is the chemical reaction that occurs when this limestone is burned. CO2 is released, and there's really not much you can do about that.
So remixing concrete with the environment in mind, what is that?
Well, there's a couple of ways to approach it. One is, and this happens a lot these days, is to mix other materials, what are called pozzolans, in with cement to reduce the amount of cement and thus reduce the amount of CO2.
Does that produce other sort of environmental byproducts that are equally problematic at the scales of sort of the global cement industry?
Well, not really. In fact, it uses industrial byproducts, things like fly ash, which is the leftover from burning coal, and slag from steel making.
Now, some people have said that the energy industry should really be much more integrated with the building products industry, and that there are a lot of industrial wastes or energy wastes that could be used as building materials if they're taken directly from the waste stream. How could engineers and scientists design a more closed loop to actually capture some of these building materials without releasing all of this carbon?
Well, there are people, in fact, working on different kinds of cement that actually incorporate carbon dioxide from, say, a power plant's flue gases into the process to, in fact, sequester carbon dioxide into concrete.
So power plants would actually also be cement plants.
Right. You'd have essentially a cement plant next door. You'd take the flue gases from the power plant, bubble it through water, say saline water, produce carbonates, and make cement from that. And therefore, you're sequestering maybe a half a ton of CO2 for every ton of cement you make.
Now, I can see scientifically how that could work, but in terms of these industries, they're very, very different. They don't necessarily work together. What would it require to direct that, in fact, that be the case? A cement plant is sited next to an energy plant, and the carbon sequestration results in cement blocks and building materials.
Well, economics might play a role. You know, a power plant is, if carbon taxes come into effect, a power plant's going to have to pay a lot of money for every ton of CO2 that goes up through its smokestack. So if, in fact, they can actually turn around and make cement from that product, they'll be saving a lot of money, so it'll be in their economic interest to do it.
So a cap-and-trade system, if it's aggressive enough, would create alliances between the cement industry and the energy industry.
Right, and in fact, some of these cement companies that are working on developing these processes, the power companies are very interested in it because of the economics.
Way out on the horizon, is there any sort of building material, any sort of abundant resource on the earth that would not involve carbon that could be a building material?
Well, there are other people who are working on, cements that are not, that don't use limestone, that don't use calcium carbonate or any kind of carbonate. Those theoretically would not involve release of CO2 other than heating and transportation and mining, things like that.
Now, how does calcium carbonate work?
Well, calcium carbonate is basically it's limestone, and it's the building block of Portland cement, which has been around for about 200 years.
Calcium carbonate, it would be hard to find a replacement for calcium carbonate.
Well, it's just the biggest, it's the most ubiquitous cement in the world by far. It's been used. It's very effective. It's very cement-like. One of the problems with all these other materials that are in development is that there's all these standards that have to be met for strength of concrete, for durability, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's been able to figure that out yet, but they hope to.
Silicon is abundant. Does it have any hope of being a cement?
Well, I don't know if it has hope of being a cement by itself, but in fact, a waste product called silica fume is used as a replacement for some cement in concrete.
Any products that exist now that begin to address the issues in your article?
Nothing that's really on the market yet. There's a company in California named Calera, which your VC guy is involved with.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. And they are, either they're hoping to produce within a year or two either cement or maybe artificial aggregate stone to go into concrete.
Well, it's not exactly something you'd want to put on your table, maybe under your table, but the recipe is in the current issue of Science Times. Concrete is remixed with the environment in mind. The author is Henry Fountain, editor and writer for The New York Times and author of the piece in the Science Times on remixing concrete. Thank you very much, Henry.
Thanks.
And now, headlines from Mark Garrison.
Hey, John, it's 28 minutes after the hour.